Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Dr. Howard Hall, who's the director of the University of Tennessee's Institute for Nuclear Security and Oak Ridge National Laboratory Governor's Chair in Nuclear Security, and Natalie Manieva, who is a research assistant at the University of Tennessee's Institute for Nuclear Security. They have an article at CNN, Is Ukraine About to Go Nuclear Again? And of course, Dr. Howard Hall, that's a long-term prospect, and it could be the ultimate backlash from Putin taking Crimea and threatening eastern Ukraine. But at the moment, there appears to be at least some good news coming out of Geneva, where the foreign ministers of Russia, the U.S., and the European Union and Ukraine have agreed to steps to de-escalate the crisis. Are you confident that this agreement will hold?
Well, I'm certainly hopeful that it holds. The situation in Ukraine has the potential, as we noted in that article, to drastically undermine one of the principal tenets of global security, which is the Treaty on the Non-Proliferation of Nuclear Weapons. And so if we can walk back from that brink through diplomatic channels, that is wonderful news. Hopefully it's an agreement that is both effective and sustainable.
And Natalie Manieva, what's your sense of the agreement, given that it's been pretty clear that Putin has been both the arsonist and the fire brigade in destabilizing the eastern Ukraine after having taken Crimea? He doesn't appear to want these May 25th elections to go ahead, because that will legitimize or at least produce a legitimate government in Kiev. So are you hopeful or skeptical?
Well, I guess both. Of course, all of us have to be hopeful in terms of that the new agreements will tone down the violence and help Ukraine and Russia to reach an agreement. But there are several problems within this. First of all, we know that the Russian government and Putin are not being very open and honest about the actions that they're doing in Ukraine. It was just several days ago that Mr. Putin for the first time acknowledged the people in military uniforms who were present in Crimea for a long time, by now over a month, are actually Russian military. If you remember, he was giving several interviews in terms of crisis, and he was saying that we do not know who those people are, it's not Russian military, and we have nothing to do with it. Yesterday, in an interview to Russian media, he actually acknowledged that, yes, those people were Russian troops.
Well, let me ask Dr. Howard Hall about the article that you've written for at CNN, Is Ukraine About to Go Nuclear Again? And it reveals some alarming talk, which I didn't realize had been going on, and most people don't, that two of Ukraine's leading political parties, Fatherland and Strike, have introduced a bill in Parliament that calls for the rejection of the country's 1999 agreement to the 1968 Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. And further to that, Mustafa Dezimilov, who is a member of the Ukrainian Parliament since 1988, apparently he recently spoke with Putin and told him that because of Russia's breaking the Budapest Memorandum of 1994, that, quoting, such arrangements will not be trusted by anyone anymore, and that each country that has financial capacity to acquire its own nuclear weapons will be aspired to go down that path, and Ukraine is no exception. How credible should we take that possibility? Obviously, they've got a lot of, I think they've got 15 nuclear power plants operating in that country. They presumably have access to bomb fuel. They've had nuclear weapons. The nuclear weapons, were built in Russia itself or the former Soviet Union. So what's your understanding of how quickly they could go nuclear?
Well, I think one of the good parts of this story is certainly Ukraine has, as you mentioned, 15 operating light water reactors. They also have the shutdown plutonium production reactor complex at Chernobyl. So their immediate access to nuclear material is limited. So if they were to try to develop the actual technology and implement a weapons program, they've got a bit of effort ahead of them. One of the things that is fortuitous and is reflective of some of the good work that has gone on in the nonproliferation field over the last few years, just last year, the U.S. and Russia and Ukraine work together to remove several hundred kilograms of highly enriched uranium from Ukraine and return it to Russia. Had that not occurred last year under the Global Threat Reduction Initiative, Ukraine would have the material in hand, and so the breakout time frame to go from a political decision that nuclear weapons are in the interest of the Ukrainian government to the actual ability to implement it could have been as short as a couple of weeks. And so we have, through the patient and prudent investments in threat reduction in the past, we have actually helped this situation quite substantially. So that is a very positive outcome of prior work on threat reduction. From the perspective of the strength of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, even if Ukraine is incapable of moving in any sort of timely or credible manner towards a nuclear weapons capability, the mere act of withdrawing from the NPT under this sort of territorial duress at the hands of a nuclear weapons state really does undermine the global norm. And so that's one of the main concerns here. It's not so much what happens in Ukraine, but what does the message that the Ukrainian situation presents to other nations that have the potential to go nuclear and may on any given day be thinking about what is the calculus for their national interest. And so that's one of the major concerns.
Again, I'm speaking with Dr. Howard Hall, who's the director of the University of Tennessee's Institute for Nuclear Security and Oak Ridge National Laboratory Governor's Chair in Nuclear Security, and Natalie Manieva, who is a research assistant at the University of Tennessee's Institute for Nuclear Security. They have an article at CNN, "Is Ukraine About to Go Nuclear Again?" And Natalie, in many ways, this situation is largely, you could in effect argue that Putin has hoisted himself on his own petard because of his New York Times opinion piece of September the 1st, largely about Syria, in which Putin himself said, if you cannot count on international law, then you must find other ways to ensure your security. This is logical. If you have the bomb, no one will touch you. So how much do you think this situation has backfired on Putin?
Well, I think it's a very interesting question, and I think we need to remember that Putin's foreign policy right now is not just his personal position. Unfortunately, we need to acknowledge that Putin's action reflects deeply rooted sentiments among the Russian people. If you follow the public opinion polls from Russia, today more than 80% of people in Russia support Putin's action in Ukraine, and they support him as a leader. So it's not just his personal decision to invade Ukraine because he thought it was a very good opportunity, but it's also a reflection of what the Russian people want and support. And he's just using and skillfully manipulating the public opinion to strengthen his own power in Russia.
But isn't he?
Yes, I think, Ian, one of the things that is, you know, a dilemma in this situation is for the rest of the world, this is a foreign policy challenge, if not disaster, but for Putin domestically, this has been a significant win.
Why? But to what extent, though, is he cynically tapping into a collective sense of humiliation that Russians feel after having been a superpower one day and then the next day, you know, asking for international aid? You know, there, in many ways, you can argue that the entire Russia itself is in a kind of post-traumatic stress disorder situation, and that Putin is cynically tapping into that to distract people from his own domestic looting that apparently is going on. He's apparently makes Yanukovych look like a small-time crook. So there are two ways to look at it. I mean, one cannot discount what Natalie just said, though. I'm not suggesting we should.
You are absolutely right, and both of those things needs to be taken into consideration. From one perspective, the reasons why Putin was so popular from the first time when he was elected in 1999 is because administration knows how to address and talk to Russian people and tap into the sentiments, because they felt humiliated, because they felt left out after the collapse of the former Soviet Union, and he knows really well how to use those public sentiments. That is from one point. From the other perspective, you're absolutely right when you're saying that his actions and his foreign policy right now in Syria and then in Ukraine, he's trying to distract the Russian public from tremendous economic problems that they're facing. The corruption is skyrocketing. They don't have good roads. The salaries are very low. They have so many social and political issues, and the best way how Putin can deal with it is to distract public attention by having military action and by having a war.
But Dr. Howard Hall, everything that Natalie just told us applies to Ukraine as well, does it not? In fact, Ukraine arguably is even more of an economic basket case. Russia had just had to downgrade its expectations of growth from 3% to zero growth, but it still has considerable resources. It does look as though Ukraine, though, is pretty much a basket case, isn't it?
Well, I think both Ukraine and Russia are struggling economically. And much of that economic struggle is also being reflected in political unrest. Now, Putin is masterfully manipulating both the Russian media and Russian popular opinion to maintain his grip on power. Yankunovich didn't do so well, and so the chaos in Ukraine, I think, is going to continue for a while. Delaying the establishment of some sort of legitimacy in the Ukrainian government in Kiev, I'm not sure is going to help the matter. So hopefully this deal that's been worked out will help get some clarity there. You know, this issue of corruption is significant. As you mentioned, the Russian press never talks about issues of corruption or Putin's riches, but as you said, he does make the former Ukrainian president look like a tiger.
Well, let me ask Natalie then, in terms of the article that you've both written at CNN, is Ukraine about to go nuclear again? That, of course, is speculation based upon the notion of backlash and unintended consequences. And it would seem to me that one of the unintended consequences in terms of what Putin has done is to alarm the Baltic states, obviously Ukraine. But my understanding, and even in Lukashenko's Belarus, they're getting nervous. So has Putin created a kind of nationalistic backlash in these former Soviet republics to the west of him?
I think this is a very important question, and we need to discuss the unintended consequences of Putin's action, both in Baltic republics and in former Soviet Union countries that are leaning to the west and those that are leaning to the east. You were absolutely right when you said the Baltic republics, Czech Republic, Poland, they're all alarmed. And what Putin is doing right now is going to push them to stay with the west and to stay with their western allies. But the problem is with other former Soviet Union countries, such as Belarus, Kazakhstan, Moldova, and other, the reaction in those countries and the consequences are going to be the opposite from what Western politicians and Western media is expecting. Because we think, based on the events that is going on in Ukraine, that people in those countries, such as Belarus, Moldova, and others, will be inspired and will want democratization. But as public opinion polls from Belarus and from other countries are demonstrating, people in those countries are scared of chaos that happened in Ukraine a month ago. Public opinion polls from Belarus are saying that only 3.6% of Belarusians want to see the same events happening in Minsk as what happened in Kiev. People in those countries want order, they want stability. And they were seeing the events, the revolution that happened in Ukraine through the lens of the Russian mass media that were portraying them as chaos, as mass murdering, as nationalistic and fascist events. So both governments in those countries are going to be strengthening the grip on society, and the public opinion in those countries are going to be having the opposite consequences from what the West is expecting.
So in other words, this is all going to play into Lukashenko's hands.
Absolutely.
This kind of Stalinist relic that runs Belarus.
Absolutely.
Well, just in closing, Dr. Howard Hall, again, co-author with Natalie Manieva of this article at CNN we're talking about here, is Ukraine about to go nuclear again? Given that that's a long-term possibility, which we have discussed, in the short term, though, what's your sense of whether or not that the agreements that have just been announced out of Geneva may solve the immediate crisis, but there's so many long-term problems here that are inherent in this situation, and it's unlikely that Putin is going to suddenly become a nice guy.
Well, I think the resolution of this crisis is principally in Putin's hands. I think the ability of the U.S. and the European Union and the somewhat dysfunctional government in Kiev to influence his decision-making is pretty limited right now. As we mentioned, he's right now riding a very, very strong wave of popular support at home, domestically. So he really faces no blowback in-country. If he has reached the point where he's content, then hopefully this situation we will have the time for this to resolve in a peaceful manner. But that really is going to be a calculus that only Putin can see all of the variables on.
Well, Dr. Howard Hall, I thank you for joining us, and Natalie Manieva, I also thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Dr. Howard Hall, who is the director of the University of Tennessee's Institute for Nuclear Security and Oak Ridge National Laboratory Governor's Chair in Nuclear Security, and Natalie Manieva, who is research assistant at the University of Tennessee's Institute for Nuclear Security. They have an article at CNN, Is Ukraine About to Go Nuclear Again?